Turn with me, please, to the book 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. Continuing our study, I think most likely we'll complete this study next Sunday. And we're going to begin 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 1. I woke up this morning. You know what the first thought on my mind was? I get to preach today. And so I was wondering, since that was the first thought on my mind, I get to preach today. Was the first thought on your mind is I get to listen today? No amens. That's what I figured, but I wanted to check. What an honor it is to be in the Lord's house, isn't it? Isn't it good? Let's stand and let's seek to hear from God through God's Word. Chapter 5, verse 1. But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Again, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray for your guidance now as we look into your word. Open our hearts and apply your word, Lord, to us. For Lord, we desire to hear from you. To you be all glory and praise, and I pray your will be done in this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. As Paul put it, we're living in the last days. Y'all do realize that, right? Paul, when he opened this chapter, he said, you know, we're living in the last days, but concerning these things, I don't have to write to you. And what he's saying is, I don't have to convince you. You already know. And I kind of feel the same way about you today. Last week, we talked about end time events. And this week, I don't want to rehash what we preached about last time. Besides, you already know Jesus is coming, right? Oh, we can do better than that. Jesus is coming. Amen. And we know that's coming. But the question is, how do we live with this knowledge? Paul in the text said that you're to be sober and to watch. Be awake. Take notice. Be alert of what's going on around you. You know what that word sober means? It means clear-headed. Are you clear-headed? We'll skip over that one, won't we? But here's my question. I'm not sure that gives us a clear picture. What Paul is writing about here, he's telling us how to live in these last days. And you hear, watch, be sober, be alert, and you hear things like this, but what does that look like? How do you apply that? Well, that's what I want to share with you today, okay? Does that mean that we sit around and look at the eastern sky? Wait a minute. That way. Is that what we do? No, there's got to be more to it than that. Right? When God says watch, He's actually telling us more than just look. He's saying live watchfully. Okay? How do you live watching? Well, you start, as Paul put it in verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober. putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as the helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, the breastplate, you understand what that was. That was the covering of the chest area. And what that was for, that was to protect the vital organs of a soldier. I mean, if a soldier were to take an arrow into the heart, he's done. Or the lungs, he's done. And the same concept is true when we speak spiritually. Okay? Your faith is going to protect you from the fiery darts of Satan. And he has fiery darts. All right? And one of the great satanic attacks that we face today is the attack of doubt and discouragement. See, doubt and discouragement does not happen out here. Doubt and discouragement happens inside. It's a condition that has gotten inside me or inside you. And it's the way I'm feeling. And a lot of times the way I am, or most of the time the way I am inside, will project itself to my conduct to the outside. You see, Satan knows how to get to us. And if he can get us to the point where we get so discouraged, we quit, he wins. Or we doubt to the point that we quit, Satan wins. How many of you are worriers? Oh, only three. The rest of us, we don't worry about anything. Yeah, right. Believe that one. You know what worry is? Worry, if you look it up in the dictionary, it means to torment oneself with disturbing thoughts. Now, that just does not sound logical. To torment oneself with disturbing thoughts. Now, how many of you worry? And what is it? It is. It's tormenting ourselves. But let's put a new definition on it. Worry means to doubt God. Chew on that in just a minute. Okay? Worry means to doubt God. What you're doing when you sit around and you're worried, and I know we're all facing crisis all the time. We're all climbing mountains or in the valleys all the time. And we all come to that point where we think, God, I don't know if you can handle this one. Oh no, we'd never say that, would we? But that's what we're saying when we get that news that bad news, that we have some health issue that's risen up in life, and we back up and we sit down and say, oh Lord, what are we going to do? I don't know if I can make through this. What we're saying, let's just be honest with God. God, I don't know if you can handle this one. That's what we're doing, right? See, that doubting... It's doubting not only that God can handle your circumstances, it's doubting that God even cares enough to help you. I don't know how I'm going to get through it. Listen, if you're a child of God, I know how you're going to get through this. By the grace of God. It may be a health issue, it may be a family crisis, it may be a marriage crisis, it may be a financial crisis, but whatever the crisis is not a crisis for God. And when we come to that point where we just sit down and kill ourselves with worry, we're saying, God, you can't handle this, and you have no problem big enough that God cannot handle. On the other side, worry is not only doubting that God can handle it, worry is doubting that God knows what He's doing. Think about that for a minute. When we sit around and we worry about the circumstances that we face in life, we don't know how we're going to handle this. What we're saying is, God, I'm just not sure you're in control of this one. Listen. Everybody, listen. God is still God. That means He's still in control. And that means that he knows, not only does he know how to handle it, he has a plan. I mean, when we look around, my goodness, how discouraging is it when we look at television and we see such events as school shootings or mass shootings or bombings and the terrorism that's plaguing the world today. Do we back up and think, I don't know what this world's coming to? Yes, we do as children of God. This world is coming to judgment. You know? God knows what He's doing. Faith is trusting that God knows what He's doing. Listen, here's a verse of Scripture. You've heard it time and time again, but do you believe it? You see, if you're going to live in these last days, and I mean, we're living, and it's the last days, right? So if you're going to live for God in these last days, here's what you got to know. God's got it, and we know. Let's read this together. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Where are you? Where are you today? Where are you? Crisis mode? Family crisis mode? Financial crisis mode? Health crisis mode? It doesn't matter where you are. Do you believe in God? Are you a child of God? Do you believe that Bible is the Word of God? Refer to Romans 8:28. Are you hurting? Refer to Romans 8:28. Are you afraid? Refer to Romans 8:28. Are you doubting? Refer to Romans 8:28, because that is the Word of God. And He would not have told you that if He didn't mean it. Gotta have faith. You may be in the valley of the shadow of death. Have faith. You may be like Joseph, spending time in prison for a crime you didn't commit. Have faith. You may be like Daniel in the lion's den, or the three Hebrew children that was thrown into the fiery furnace. Have faith. God's got it. And He's working it for your good. The breastplate of faith. Ah, but there's another item in this breastplate that the Christian living in the last days must have. And that is love. Oh, listen. Man, when Satan attacks, it's easy for him to get this one. Because we're confused about what love is. We think love is a feeling. It is not a feeling. Okay? Love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. I laugh at people when they come into my office. Well, I fell out of love with my wife. That's dumb. That's dumb. You think love is a feeling. Listen, I wake up feeling different every day. Every day. Some days I'm a bear. Some days I'm a teddy bear. I usually don't know what I'm going to get until I wake up that morning. But here's what I know. It doesn't matter how I feel. It matters what I do. Okay? Love is an action word. You choose to love. The reason I said all that is because a lot of times we become callous. Become very callous toward people. And sometimes we become callous towards serving because, you know, we got burnt and it hurts to serve like we once served. And we're just not going to get hurt again. Have you ever said that? Well, I'm just not going to serve anymore because I'm not going to be hurt anymore. Once again, that's pretty dumb. You're not serving people, you're serving the Lord. Okay? It's easy to become callous toward the world. As we look at the news and all there is bad news. And when you turn on the TV and you try to watch a TV show, I've seen every episode of Andy Griffith. Every one of them. And most of the time I still go back and watch Andy Griffith because it's the only thing I can watch. And it's easy to let those things kind of callous our hearts over. You know? You turn on the TV, you see sex, drugs, and alcohol, and we live in a society where it's all about me, 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 and selfishness, and we see the hardship of those who are faithfully serving and trying to do what's right, and sometimes we think, well, what good does it do? There's a very real danger for the Christian today to come to the point where you don't care anymore. That's not acceptable when living in the last days. It's not. You see, you've got to have this breastplate of love. The idea behind the breastplate is to keep those arrows of Satan from penetrating. You see, there was a church in the book of Revelation, the church called Ephesus, that had come to that point where they didn't care anymore. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. Did I put that on there? Yes. Jesus said to this church at Ephesus, said, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." Now, most people look at that and they want to think that, who was their first love? It's deeper than that, okay? Literally, in the Greek, they often, order didn't mean anything, all right, in the Greek construction of a sentence. They're not saying you left your first love as some teenager had a first love. All right? They're saying literally that they had left the love that they had at the first. Okay? That when they first started serving God, they loved Jesus. Not only did they love Jesus, they loved people. Not only did they love people, they loved serving. They loved and they chose to love, and they were dedicated in love, and everything they did was focused on love, and they had come to that point where they were doctrinally pure, they endured persecution, and they were still doing all the right things, but they weren't loving. Listen, we as a church, we as a people cannot afford to come to the point where we no longer love. This is the last days. And the only chance that those people out there have is if you and I care. Amen. And love them enough to share Jesus Christ with them. You know, it was so serious that Jesus said, Listen, you have left the love that you had at the first, and if you do not change, I'm going to remove the candlestick. Take my spirit from you. The church will die. Listen, you can walk into a church, a loveless church, and you know it about 5 seconds after you've walked into that church. Why? Because there is a coldness, a callous there, a callousness there that cannot be disguised. At Victory Baptist Church, make no mistake, okay? We love people. Even when it's hard to love people, okay? Why do we do that? Because there's two great commandments. You remember? Love the Lord. Say them with me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself, okay? Jesus Himself said that's the two greatest commandments. And if Jesus said that's the two greatest commandments, it's not up for discussion, right? Living in the last days, you got to have faith. Number two, you got to have love. Love for one another, love for those outside the church. Then finally, you've got to have a helmet of hope. That helmet of hope, something to look forward to. Do you have something to look forward to? You know, the helmet's something that protects your mind. That's the idea. I think helmets are a really good idea. Especially when you're doing dangerous stuff. If you're going to ride a motorcycle, listen, I know you want to look cool. If you're going to ride a motorcycle, put on a helmet. That train derailed there for a moment. I had this thought of people wanting to look cool and
fly down the highway and bounce their melon on the pavement is just not a good idea. That helmet, when you ride, is there for a reason. And it protects the mind, the brain. Football players, you wear a helmet. Why do you wear a helmet? Because you're always busting heads with somebody else. And they're always trying to improve those football helmets to protect from concussions and all that. Why is that? Because once you get messed up up here, you're messed up. As a child of God, you've got to have faith. You've got to have love. And you've got to have an eternal hope, an eternal expectation, something to look forward to that nobody can take away from you. Listen, if you're a child of God, you may lose every dime you have. You may lose your job and your way you earn a living. You may lose everything. And old Satan may take it all away. But I want to tell you something that Satan cannot take away. He cannot take away the salvation that Jesus Christ has given to you. He can't take that away. And I want to tell you something else. Sometimes that's all you've got to hold on to. This old life can get tough, folks. We know we as Christians face persecution. And it's hard. We know that just life in general, there are ups and downs and losses and gains. And it's hard. You got to have something to look forward to. Romans 8:17. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't put this on there. We'll go back. I'll read it to you. Romans 8:17. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Do you realize that as a child of God, you are an heir with Jesus Christ? Do you realize what that means? A part of heaven is yours. That one day, because you're a child of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, that you have an inheritance. You're a rich kid. Oh, come on. You're a rich kid. You have an inheritance. How does the Christian keep that attitude? You know, that smile, that press forward, that Paul, you know, Paul said he was always pushing toward the mark. How do you keep that? You've got to keep your eyes on the prize. There's more to this life than this life. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to what? Receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. You have an inheritance. And they may take everything down to the shirt off your back and the health that you enjoy. But Satan cannot have what has been secured through Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. He can't have it. He cannot take it away. I look back on old Job. Old Job had it all. Rich man, lost all his riches. Family man, lost all his family. Healthy man, lost his health. He was covered in sackcloth and ashes for a long time. You know, but you know what? You know what Satan couldn't take away? Satan could not take away his God. Listen, I don't care where you are today. And you may be going through the fire. But Satan can't have your God. Right? You continue pressing toward that mark. You see? And again, I love verses 8 and 9. But let those who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as the helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath. You see, oftentimes we take that scripture, for God did not appoint us to wrath, and say, that means that the children of God won't go through the tribulation period. And yes, it does, but that's the shallow part of it. All right? That's the shallow part. You see, that scripture, the verses, you do realize the numbers and the verses were added by the translators
Paul did not write number 7 for those who are asleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night, and then put an 8 down and write, but let those who are of the day, and then put a 9 down. He didn't do that. This was a letter. Okay? And what Paul said in verse 8, he said, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. And he tells you what the hope is. He said, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That goes together, is what I'm pointing. He's saying, this is your hope. Your hope is God didn't appoint you to wrath. And yeah, that does deal with the tribulation and all that stuff that's coming, but that ultimately deals with judgment. And I love Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to this flesh, but according to the Spirit. Here's the long and the short. Yes, you're walking through this life. Yes, you're still a sinner. And yes, old Satan, his very name means accuser. And he accuses you and says, oh, if you were really saved, you wouldn't do stuff like that. Oh, how could you do that and still be saved? Oh, look at you. You're not worthy of the grace of God. And all that is true. But glory to God, we have Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 that says, There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You know who that means? That means for everybody that has placed their faith and their trust in Jesus, into Jesus Christ as their Savior, that Satan can keep throwing the mud and it will not stick to you. Because you're a child of the King. Oh, beloved. See, living in the last days, so oftentimes we make it complicated, and I'll tell you, I love studies of the last days. I do. I like to talk about the rapture and the tribulation period and the four horsemen of the first part of Revelation. All that's good stuff. But see, we got to know how to live until we get to that point where Jesus steps out on the cloud, descends from heaven with the shout, the trump of God. The dead in Christ rise first, and those who are alive will be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye, and we shall all go to meet Him in the air. Until we come to that point, we got to know how to live down here. Paul said, this is how you do it. He said faith. He said love. And he said hope. If you've got those three things, you've got all that you need, beloved. You've got everything. Does it sound familiar? Those are the spiritual gifts that remain today. Faith, hope, and love. Right? Found in the book of 1 Corinthians. My question to you. Do you have it? Are you a child of God? Are you saved? Not are you a church member? Not have you gone to church all your life? Not I'm doing the best I can? Are you saved? For you see, Jesus Christ came to this earth to seek and to save those who are lost. Have you come to that point where you called upon Jesus Christ, who paid your sin debt upon the cross of Calvary? Have you came to that point where you called upon Him for salvation? If not, let's take care of that today. Maybe you're here today and you know, you're in one of three places. You're about to enter the storm. You're either about to enter the storm, or you're in the storm, or you're exiting the storm. It's three places to be in life. But you're in one of those three places. All right? It may be a storm that's you know, attacking your faith. It may be a storm that's attacking your love. It may be a storm that even attacks the very hope that lives within you. This altar's open. Will you do business with God today? Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the encouragement found in this text this morning. Lord, I know there are people here today who are hurting, who are facing crisis, who are in danger because of the attacks of Satan. I pray, Lord, that today they would just come and seek their refuge in you. I pray for those who are lost, who do not know you as their personal Savior.
Help them to realize that Satan is bent upon their destruction. And you died so that they might have eternal life. And I pray that they will come forward and receive you as their Savior today. I pray, Lord, that you will just freely move among us today, providing every spiritual need that we may live, Lord, in faith and hope and love, that we may be that city set upon a hill for all the world to see, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Thy will be done in Jesus' name.